I've been changed. Do you believe that? You know, Jesus Christ changes lives. That's why our mission as a church is to take as many people as we can to heaven with us and allow Jesus Christ to change their life. So, I was watching ESPN this week, and I noticed like all the major sports are being covered right now. They're kind of recapping the NFL season and kind of speculating about the upcoming draft and the combine and things. Major League Baseball, their season started, spring training. Anybody excited about that? NBA, NHL, they're heating up. The playoffs are on the horizon. College basketball, it's one of my favorites, March Madness, and it's just a few weeks away. Go Kentucky. And you know what I've noticed? When the playoffs get close, fans get crazy. Yeah, they get crazier and crazier. More people are wearing the team jerseys when the teams are in the playoffs. You watch the games, there are more people that paint their faces, take off their shirts, hold up signs, wave towels. They shout and they cheer and they dance, or something that resembles dancing anyway. And we're passionate about our teams. We like to talk about our teams. In fact, sometimes we get into very animated discussions about our teams, and that's okay. But I often wonder if we're more passionate about our teams than we are about our God. And that's what I want to talk about today. You know, we're finishing up our series 2020, and it's been about seeking God's heart and putting together a plan, setting some God-honoring goals in our life and different areas of our lives. And that by 2020, it's about ending up somewhere on purpose. And our scripture throughout this has been, where there's no vision, the people perish. You know, that word vision, again, it's from the Hebrew. The Hebrew word for that is halzon. And it means to dream, to have a revelation, to have a vision in life. And the fact is, where there's no dream, where there's no revelation, where we have no vision, the thing is, we can get easily excited about all kinds of things if we don't have a vision for our life. We can very easily start pursuing things and perish. You know, one day Jesus asked his disciples a life-defining, in fact, vision-clarifying question. And he said this, Matthew 16, he says, "And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world?" And I imagine he let that hang there for a minute. "But lose your own soul. Is anything worth more than your soul?" Everyone ends up somewhere, but few people end up somewhere on purpose in their life. You know, John, he was one of the original 12 disciples that traveled with Jesus, and he was an early church leader. John, of course, wrote the book of John, but he also wrote the book of Revelation. And he wrote that book when he was in exile on the Isle of Patmos. And he records Jesus' words. They were written to the church at Laodicea. And he's given us what Jesus had to say to his followers then, and I think more importantly to us today. And he says this. He says, "I know your deeds, that you are either cold nor hot. I wish you were either one of or the other. But because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth." Friends, where there's no vision for a relationship with God, I will tell you, things grow cold. It's easy to drift in our life. Where there's no vision for a relationship with God, what happens is, little by little, over time, we become lukewarm in our walk. When it comes to a relationship with God, we end up in one of these three categories. You know, the category one is hot. Hot. Your relationship with God, it's growing. The fact is, it's thriving. you're able to see positive movement in your life when you're hot. You know, you're passionate about God. You're passionate about your relationship with God. The fact is, God is central, very vital part of your life. You know, Paul says this: we must always give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters, as is right, because our faith is growing abundantly. And the love of every one of you for one another is what? Increasing. Are you for the things of God? Are you growing spiritually in your life? Are you pursuing God? In other words, is your faith growing and is your love increasing in life? The fact is, hot does not happen by default. Hot is a daily, regular decision that you decide you're going to move in a direction and you follow it with action in your life. And there's something that happens when you mature in your faith. Your heart beats hard for God, but your heart also beats hard for other people that are involved in your life, that come across your path. See, spiritual maturity, we've messed this one up a lot. Because it is not just about having biblical knowledge. In fact, we know if you have a lot of biblical knowledge, that it's really easy to become puffed up about it. The fact is, spiritual maturity comes from applying what you know and what you know God wants for your life. You know, spiritual maturity is allowing God to guide your steps. It moves you to a point where you put God first in your life. And when you are growing spiritually, your heart for God grows and your heart for other people grows. And so, question, are you hot? Are you growing in your faith? The other category, it's the polar opposite, is cold. And I describe cold as those who don't know God yet. They're not sure if God exists. They're not sure if they need God. And it's very interesting to me because Jesus, as he shares, says, it's not a bad place to be, because you're in a position to meet God in a very personal way. And in fact, some of you may be here today and you're searching. And the reality is, there's no pretending. There's no drifting in your life. There's no numb effect, so to speak. You're in a position where you're one decision away from making Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. And all of a sudden, you can turn from cold to hot. The position of lukewarm, well, Jesus says that's the worst position. It is defined by being spiritually lukewarm, I would say, as drifting, kind of coasting in your faith, skimming, you know, not really engaging with God. And it's not that you're against God, but it's very clear that you're not pursuing God with everything in you. You have no real passion for God. You know, the Hebrew writer says, Hebrews 2:1, it says, therefore, we must pay greater attention to what we've heard, what we know. Why? So that we do not drift away from it. You know, several years ago, I was on vacation. I was down in the Keys, and I got to know a family down there, and these guys go, hey, you want to go fishing with us in the morning? And I'm like, I'm there. I'll be there. And so we loaded up the boat and we headed out. We went about 30 miles out off the coast. We were near the Gulf Stream, just a little bit north of it. And the fish were hitting. And so we spent most of the day we'd throw a line in and we'd bring stuff in. We're having this great time. And then we got done, and we're heading back in, and we got a few miles from the island. You could see them, and Carl and his son, I realized they're having a debate among themselves, and they're like, I don't recognize where we are. Yeah, I've never seen that before. And where do you think we are? And so as I listen, I realize they're not sure where we are, and that they thought we were a few miles maybe west of Key Largo. And so I'd spent enough time on water. I'm like, guys, I think we're a lot further than a few miles west. And so we had been drifting all day. And so the fact is that current just kept pushing us and pushing us. And so finally they just pulled into one of the docks where they saw some people. And what we discovered is we were about 30 miles west of Key Largo. Now here's the deal. Some of you would say, you know what? I know I've drifted a little bit from God. I used to be close to God, but now, not so much. I mean, there was a time I was growing spiritually in my life. There was a time I was pursuing God. There was a time when I was hot, but I've drifted. I got distracted by other things in my life. I let things creep into my schedule, and the reality is I've become lukewarm. Friends, where there's no vision, people perish. Great relationships never happen by accident. Everybody ends up somewhere with God, but few people end up somewhere on purpose in their life. And here's my caution. All of us need to be very, very careful where we end up, because it makes an eternal difference. I mean, if we're going to stay on course, if we're going to grow in our relationship with God, we must give it great attention. We must have a game plan for our lives. I think one of the best commentators today, and I hate saying this because he was a Dallas Cowboy, but Tony Romo. I think he's done a great job announcing his ability to, as people say, demystifies the game, and he's pretty amazing. And he'll be explaining like a really basic concept, like a cover one defense or a disguised blitz or something. And he'll just break it down, and you go, "Oh, I can make sense of that." You know, he'll break down a very specific play, and he has this ability for you just to get it. And so I thought I would try and explain a very basic biblical concept, Romodamus, kind of a way here. So here we go. You knew I had to work the Steelers in, right? But can you picture Tony going, this is exciting. Let's break down this play. We got the field of life here. You know, you got God over there. See God. Everybody is set. Play's about to take off. There it is. Do you see it? Oh, you got to love this. Then you see the guy in motion there? He's moving. Oh, boy. Do you see it? Oh, yeah, there's God's making a move. There it is. Right there, God's connecting. It's perfect execution. See, everything's predicated on being in motion. Going forward, the draw's the difference here. The draw's the difference. And my question to you, how is your draw play? You know, James says, draw near to God and God will draw near to you. It's a really basic concept. If you're not drawing toward God, if you're just in motion, and some of you are, you're just in motion, you're going nowhere, particularly, the fact is you got to improve things. You got to improve your draw, because when you draw toward God, God will draw toward you. You know, Jeremiah records, God says this, when you search for me, you will find me if you seek me with all your heart. The fact is God wants you to find him. Whether you've been seeking God in your life, however you've been doing it, it's okay. Because I believe and I know when you start taking steps toward God, you know, forward motion, truly hunting and trying to figure out where God belongs in your life, God will meet you there when you move toward him. It is a promise from God. The fact is, God loves you. God sent his son to die on the cross for you. God wants to know you. The fact that you're here today, for some of you, it's not a mistake. As you seek God, however you're doing it, as you take steps toward God, it's a promise from God. He will find you. He will find you. You know, I was watching ESPN. You think that's all I do these days, right? But they were talking about preparing for a game. And they had all these NFL greats on there. That they all had the very regimented discipline. Very regimented daily workout routine. You know, and several of the players, they talked about, some of them were doing this kind of freestyle, kind of urban acrobatics. Man, I can't even say it. But they were kind of using the city landscape, the benches, the walls, the rails and stuff to enhance their balance, their agility, their stamina. All of them were very consistent hitting the weight room and working out and doing kind of the traditional workout. But most of them added pieces to that, where they're doing some unorthodox elements, whether it be a wobble board or they're doing the box jump or speed bag, or some of them were even involved in kickboxing and, you know, yoga and stuff like that. And they were increasing their speed and their strength and their ball handling skills, very, very regimented, about studying other team formations, studying player tendencies, you know, looking at old game footage to try and understand what they were up against. And they believed that those daily disciplines would prepare them, would give them the best chance of success when they hit the field each week. They had this universal belief that great disciplines lead to great results. Friends, I will tell you that great disciplines lead to great results in life. It's true in every single area of life, and it's absolutely true when it comes to your relationship with God and with Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, how do you connect with God? How do you connect with God? You know, I don't care if you've been a follower for 50 years. The fact is, God still wants to connect with you on a regular basis. There is so much that God wants to reveal to you, things that God wants you to understand about yourself, about him, about your potential, about your future. You have not arrived. None of us have. There are certain disciplines, there are certain things that are very core. If you're going to have a strong and growing relationship with God, the arrangement, the execution, it may vary between us. It may be a little bit different what your routine looks like than mine. But there are some very common disciplines that have to be a part of our lives. You know, like Bible study, prayer, you know, worship, serving, accountability, fasting, evangelism, where we share our faith with other people. How do you best connect with God? How do you do that? And I know as I say that, for some you go, well, you know, I come to church every week. That's about it. And I'm glad you're here. That's important. It's what we do. It's a starting. It's a foundational point. But I will tell you, if that's all you do, be careful. Because it's not enough. You need more if you're going to stay hot with your faith. The fact is, if that's all you're doing, I can tell you what your future will look like. Because there will be a point where you will look and you will feel like it's not enough. You will feel like you're not able to be fed enough. And at some point, you'll actually decide you need a new church, a new experience in your life, or worse yet, and this is where most go, most drift and drift and drift until the point they get so cold, they just get involved in other things. Other things crowd God out. Friends, you need to develop some disciplines in your life. that'll help you build a relationship and maintain a relationship with God. I mean, we do what we can here. But honestly, it all falls back on you. You know, what is your weekly routine? What's your daily routine? If you want to connect with God, you need some kind of routine. And so I'm going to ask it again. How do you best connect with God? Now, I want you to notice, I didn't say what's the easiest thing for you to do. How do you best connect with God? It's okay to be creative with it, but you got to be doing things that connect you. You know, I know a guy, he's on the road a lot. And so he told me when he first gets in the truck and he starts running, he listens to a Bible app, and he listens to one chapter out of the Bible every morning for an hour. He listens to that one chapter. And he said, so I listen to it over and over and over and over again for an hour. And he says, I spend the next hour trying to remember as much of what I've just heard as I can. He says, I spend some time just, you know, reflecting and thinking about it and allowing it to kind of integrate into my life. You know, I know another guy, he uses a Bible app and he reads. He'll be, anytime he's waiting, you know, like he's waiting on lunch, waiting on the kids or waiting at an office to have a meeting. He says, I'll just read a couple scriptures and I think and reflect on that and allow God to just speak to me in some way. And I've shared this before. Before I have my daily devotions where I sit at my desk and do that, but I start my day, I get up and I'm half awake and I fall into the hot tub and spend about a half hour outside just kind of taking things in. And I do what I call just kind of random connecting with God, reflecting with God. And so as I'm relaxing, taking in the moment, taking in the morning, kind of enjoying God's creation and watching it wake up as I'm waking up, I just let my mind go and see where God takes me. And it's a little bit, I've described this before to you, it's a little bit like a Bing commercial, you know? It's like a kind of free association. I'll see something, and then it reminds me of something else, and then I'm, you know, and here we go. But I will tell you that many times God has just spoke to me about something I've been dealing with. I'll get some clarity in my life in that particular area. Sometimes I end up in surprising places, something I hadn't even thought of for years, and God just kind of presses me, or, you know, God will encourage me. There are times I simply just enjoy God's creation and go, wow, God, amazing, amazing. But it's a time of connecting. It's a time of reflecting. Some of you are drifting. And this is the best advice that I can give you, is you got to be doing something to connect with God. You know, Jesus gave this advice. He says, you've forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you've fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. How do you best connect with God? I would challenge you to think back. Think back when you were connecting. What were you doing when you were connecting? And then start practicing that stuff again. Here's another question for you. What barriers are hindering your relationship with God? You know, we talked about relationships earlier in the series. And we talked about relationships that we have with one another. They're hindered by things. They're hindered by things like lying, by deceit. The fact is, they create distance between us. Well, friends, the same thing's true with God. You know, the fact is, when we're not straight with God, it creates distance. You know, David said this. He says, the one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in idols or swear by a false god, they will receive the Lord's blessing and have a right relationship with God, their Savior. I mean, David points out here, there are some major things that hinder our lives. You know, unclean hands, an impure heart. You know, idols will mess us up. You know, when I was a kid, my dad, he would call us to the dinner table, and then he would go, "Boys, wash up for dinner." And so I would go into the bathroom and fake it. You know, so I would turn on the water, and I'd dance around, you know. It's like, you know, let the water run. That's called dirty dancing, by the way. But, yeah. But I'd turn the water off, got to mess the towel up, you know, in case they checked the towel. And then I would head in to eat dinner. I was thinking about, I don't know why I did it. It was actually more work than if I'd have just washed my hands. But the fact that, okay, all right, how many of you did something like that? Yeah, all right. Friends, when it comes to God, some of you are faking it. I mean, you give the appearance that you're God-honoring in your life. But the fact is, inwardly, your heart, your hands, they're unclean. You know, people think you're pursuing God, but the reality is, for some of you, it's playing a game. You're going through the motions. You know, you're living with unconfessed sin. You're just faking it. Friends, and I will tell you that sin will hinder your relationship with God. You know, the Greek word for sin, it's harmatia. It means to miss the mark. Everybody ends up somewhere. Most people miss the mark. Few people hit the mark. Few people end up somewhere on purpose in life. You know, Paul says this. He says, come back to your senses as you should and stop sinning. For some of you, I say this to your shame, for some of you don't fully know God. Sin breaks our fellowship with God. It's a barrier. It gets in the way. And my prayer for all of us is that the Holy Spirit breaks us. You know, makes us come to our senses to wake up and say, you know what, I got to stop sinning. I got to stop doing this. That we get to a point where we confess the sin and we get things right with God. And so my question is, what sin is hindering your relationship with God? And I'll be blunt. The modern Christian kind of mentality that exists, and maybe I should say the modern secular mentality that the Christians have adopted, it's kind of nauseating. You know, I love Jesus, but I'm going to do what I want to do. You know, I love Jesus, but I'm going to cheat on my taxes. I don't like what the government's doing. You know, I love Jesus, but I like to party. I mean, what's the big deal? You know, I love Jesus, but you know what? Marriage is so old-fashioned. I like playing around a little. You know, I love Jesus, but this company I work with, they're awful. And so I steal a few things. I'm just even the score. You know, I love Jesus, so I go to a strip club once in a while. I look at a few websites. I mean, what's the big deal? You may think it's wrong, but it's not. It's okay. Friends, if you love Jesus, you do what Jesus asks you to do. You know, John 14:15, Jesus says, if you love me, I mean, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. I was reading an article. It was the nine most common sins, and they're deadly sins, really, was the list, but started out with materialism, and I love, they had a line in there, says, I love Jesus almost as much as I love money, you know, but we get caught there sometimes. You know, laziness was a sin. You know, I'd ask you how many of you struggle with that one, but it's too much work to probably put the hand up, isn't it? Yeah. You know, self-centeredness. I mean, fact is, for some of you, everything's about you. Me, 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 me. Fact is, you're so into it, you're clueless that you're selfish. You know, pride. Again, I'd say, hey, raise your hand if you got a problem with pride, but we're not going to raise our hand. Why? Because I'm too proud. Yeah, they went through gluttony, anger, sexual lust, envy, lying. And I just throw those out to say to all of us, assess your life a little bit. What is it that's hindering your relationship with God? That thing that you just thought of, that thing that came to mind, that's it. That's it. And I would challenge you, whatever that is, to take it on, to confess it to God. God already knows about it. Voice it to God. Ask God for forgiveness. And then stop doing. Go the other way. Spiritual hygiene here. It's where you clean your hands and your heart and allow God to work. It is an intentional, prayerful plan to pursue God, to overcome some things in your life that are separating you from God. And I know as I say that, for some of you, that thing that you've been struggling with, you're going, I can't overcome this. It's got its claws in me. You know, I'm losing the battle. Well, friends, Paul says this. He says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to all of us. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you're tempted, he will also provide a way so that you can endure it. Friends, no sin is too big for God to conquer in your life. There is a way out. There is a way through. God will show you the way. God will give you the strength. And there's another thing that hinders us and messes us up. And that's idolatry. And I know, again, as I say that, some of you are going, well, I haven't committed an idolatry. I haven't worshipped a false god. I don't have a totem pole in my house. You know, the fact is, we have all bowed down to other things. Exodus, one of the Ten Commandments, you shall have no other gods before me. You know, an idol is anything you put before God. What are you putting before God in your life? You know, consider this for a minute. Do you spend more time watching TV in one evening than you spend with God in a whole month? I mean, do you spend more time doing other things and you just kind of ignore God? Do you put money before God? You know, you're not sure on that one? Well, I challenge you, look at your future. You know, do you trust God more, or do you trust your bank account more? You know, where do you look for security? You know, where do you give God the first fruits? Do you tithe? Or do you tend to have a me, mine mentality that rules in your life? I mean, do you put God first on your schedule? Or is it more, you know, I got to do this, I got to do that. I don't really have time for God. You know, this is really, really important what I'm doing. And I will tell you this. You know, every time someone says, well, I don't have time for God, you have time for what you decide to have time for. Do not fool yourself. It is a choice you make. Whatever it is that's before God, you got to get it straightened out. You know, most of the time, it's very easy to look at someone's life, and it's very obvious God's not first. You know, how do you know if God's not first in your life? I will tell you how you will know. If God is first, you will not worry. Worry is a warning light. Worry is a warning light that God is not first. And when God's not first, you will begin to worry in your life. If you do not put God first, when God's not first in your relationship, let's say, you're going to worry about that relationship. If God's not first in your schedule, you will worry that you can't get done what you need to get done. You know, if God's not first in your finances, you're going to worry. If God's not first in your troubles, you're going to worry. If God's not first in your job, you're we'll try that. You know, if God's not first in whatever area it is, you will worry and fret and struggle. You know, Jesus said this. He said, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." It is a clarifying question here that's taking place. Because I would put it to you this way. Is God absolutely first in every area of your life? That's a translation of that. I mean, when it comes to your relationship with God, are you hot? Are you cold? Or are you lukewarm in your life? And I will tell you, there is nothing more important than that question. There is nothing worth your soul. A great relationship with God does not happen by accident. And I would challenge you to take some time this week and just talk to God about it and pray about it and seek God and thank God for inviting you into a relationship, a close relationship with him, and then make some decisions. You know, decide what needs to change in your life. You know, set some goals spiritually. Get a game plan. You know, this whole series, we've been talking about different areas of life. And I will tell you that you can stumble in every area we've talked about up to this point. That's a choice you can make. Many do. It will not be easy. This life will not be easy if you decide you're going to stumble with all of it. And it will not be pretty. But you can do that. But friends, I will tell you, you do not want to stumble in this area. You do not want to miss the mark. Because where there's no vision for a relationship with God and Jesus Christ, people perish. And everybody ends up somewhere, but few people end up somewhere on purpose. And I will tell you, eternity is in the balance. Eternity is in the balance. Now we're going to close a little bit different in preparing for communion. If anything struck a chord with you this morning, maybe for some of you it's, I need to make Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior. Maybe for others it's, I need to take it up a notch. I need to get serious about it. I'm in that lukewarm category. I realize that I'm today going to make it a new day. If you want to take that step and say, today's a new day, I want to pray for you. I don't need you to do anything fancy other than stand up and say, today's the day, God. I'm making a new declaration, and I'll pray for you where you're at this morning. So if God's moved you in any way, just stand up where you're at, and I'll pray for you this morning. Everybody ends up somewhere. End up somewhere on purpose. Our holy God, God, you see those standing this morning. God, I know there might be someone here today that they're standing up to make you their Lord and Savior. God, I hope they hear the cheers and the celebration in heaven this morning. God, it's a new start, new day, new beginning. God, I pray your Holy Spirit would just breathe into them. And God, I know there are many standing here today that maybe have let the fire burn a little low. Feel like they're just kind of stuck, lukewarm. God, I pray that your Spirit would just breathe into them new life, new day, new beginning. That they'd pursue you with everything in them. God, we thank you that you loved us so much that you sent your Son to die for us. That you want to talk to us every day, that you want to guide our steps, that you have a plan, a great plan for our lives, more than we can even begin to imagine or dream. God, I pray that you would put a hedge of protection around this church, around each individual, each family. And God, that we would live life on purpose before you. And those times when we fail, Lord, that we would just, we'd lay that stuff at your feet and get up and start again. God, I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love. It's in Christ's holy name we pray. God's people said, you may be seated. We're going to celebrate in communion this morning. If first time with us, or maybe you haven't been here when we've celebrated communion, everybody's welcome at God's table. If you're a Christian, you don't have to be a part of this church. Children are welcome at the table. It's at parents' discretion. And we partake by intinction, which means you can take the wafer, you can leave it whole, or you can break it. You can dip it into the chalice, and it's a way for us to connect with God and to celebrate what Jesus Christ did for us in our lives. And so let's pray and bless this time. Our holy God, God, we thank you. We thank you that you sent your Son. And God, I thank you for the bread that represents a broken body that was given for us, and for the juice that represents your blood. It was shed for our sins. God, as we examine ourselves, as we come before you, God, we lay that stuff at your feet. And most of all, God, we thank you. We consider it a privilege to gather as a body and to partake of these elements together. God, we give you the praise, we give you the glory for all that you do, all that you've done. It's in Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. The ushers will dismiss aisle and come celebrate together.